I want to give a very different kind of message. It's a different message. Quiz time. Do you remember back in 2018, 7 years ago? Next slide. We've done that already. Okay. Yeah. Next slide. Okay, there we're caught up. Thanks. Do you remember 2018? What was in August? What was the number one movie? Was it Black Panther? Nah, it wasn't. Was it The Avengers: Infinity War? Maybe some of you. Was it Aquaman? Now, I'm sure some of you have seen this movie, because the number one movie, it was Crazy Rich Asians. How many saw that? See? Crazy Rich Asians. Actually, it was surprising that it was the number one movie. It was projected to gross about 18 to 20 million, but it actually ended up grossing 238.5 million at the box office. This was a film of great significance because it really put Asian movies on the map, community on the map. I mean, Asians can take lead roles, not only supportive ones. Growing up, I struggled to be Chinese with my Chinese identity. I really did. I was born in Hong Kong, came here when I was young, and I didn't like being Chinese. I avoided everything that was Chinese, you know. But it's kind of hard because you're from a Chinese family. Most of my friends were Caucasian, Black, Italian, Jewish, from many other backgrounds. But Chinese was not one of them. I had one friend who was Chinese, and we both spoke English. You know, none of the girls that I was attracted to were Chinese. In fact, it was kind of funny. I came to Canada, and this is one lady who told me, like, impressed upon me. She says, "You got to marry a Chinese girl." And I go, "Where are they?" You know, it was crazy. And I already had this inferiority complex growing up because I was Chinese. I was not as good as my friends in sports. Chinese adults would say, "Lame sik gong zhong man," you know, in other words, you don't know how to speak Chinese. And I feel it just kind of make you feel not special. My worst subjects in school was English. You know, I mean, like, English was my second language. But everybody in the Chinese church thinks that, oh, your English is perfect. You know, God had a sense of humor. You know, I not only did I not speak Chinese very well, I couldn't hold the chopsticks properly. I didn't know there was a proper way of doing this. And I wanted nothing to do with the Chinese. But God had a sense of humor. He called me to be a preacher working with Chinese people. And my, like I said, my worst subject was English. So I became an English pastor. Like, what is that all about? And God has changed my heart towards the Chinese people. But I just want to give you a context. You know, I want to address this issue about Chinese people because there's a lot of hate going on in south of the border about the Chinese people. And they blame the Chinese on the COVID. And you know, is it the Chinese? It's not the Chinese that are lining up armies, you know, at borders. I don't think Chinese history has ever Chinese been they've been attacked, but we've never been the aggressors. just a year before COVID crisis, I had the opportunity to go back to Hong Kong and Shanghai. I never went back since I immigrated to Canada. That was over 50 years. And I saw the hospital where my mom worked and where I was probably born. And I was impressed with how advanced Asians are in many ways over North Americans. I mean, we look at our transit system in Toronto and we're so backwards. What I want to share with you is what the Lord's been trying to say to me about the Chinese. And maybe it's something that you would feel. What now, there was an old commercial where this Caucasian woman asked the Chinese laundry shop. I don't know if you remember this commercial. It was on television many years ago, back in the 60s or 70s. And a Chinese laundry shop owner, and how he gets his shirt so clean. The lady asked him, Mr. Lee, how do you get your shirt so clean? Mr. Lee replies, ancient Chinese secret. And the commercial was to sell Calgon, this fabric softener. You know, and the wife says, my husband, the hotshot, ancient Chinese secret, my foot, you know. and she goes, dear, we need more Calgon. And you see that Mr. Lee was exposed in, you know, Calgon. And ancient Chinese secret, my foot, you know. So, but it brings out a point. Are there ancient Chinese secrets? The Chinese have been around for 4,500 years, or some would say 5,000 years. Yet there are many ancient Chinese practices that secrets that we practice. For example, we have Chinese medicine that goes back 4,500 years. I can tell you from experience that when the doctors and the nurses, you know, they don't know what to do, we go to the Chinese medicine as an alternative. We have Chinese writing that date back the time of the writings of Moses in history. Years ago, I had an opportunity to meet a famous missionary, Don Richardson. I don't know if you've heard of Don Richardson, but he's the one who wrote Peace Child. He's famous for, you know, talking about the open doors to every culture. Regardless of what culture you're in, there is a key to opening a culture. And the Peace Child was a key to opening a culture in one of those tribes that he worked with. For the Chinese, is there a key to open, to reach the Chinese? And I believe it's the ancient Chinese secret. I really do. But let me explain later on. The Chinese have a very rich history, and very few groups have this kind of history in this world. And God has blessed the Chinese, and we need to see how God has blessed the Chinese people. Nearly 4,500 years of Chinese history, we know that Jesus came around 30 AD. Taoism and Buddhism and Confucius, they all came around 600 to 500 BC. That means there is about 2,000 years of Chinese history that they didn't believe in Buddha. They didn't believe in Taoism. They didn't believe in Confucius. Those of us who ask the Chinese to believe in Jesus Christ respond, are the Chinese, you know, following Jesus in terms of, you know, Are they believing in a new God? I spelt Christ wrong. Sorry about that. Anyways, are they believing in a new God? No, because they are believing in God. The ancient Chinese understood. We understood through the ancient Chinese classics that they believe in one supreme being called Shang Di, Song Dai, meaning God of the heavens. Another Chinese word that gives a hint of Chinese worship is Tien. Next, back. Tien. It means the great one. Dai, right? And one, yeah. And it means Tien. This is who the Chinese believed in. The ancient Chinese worship Shang Di and Tien. And Chinese scholar, historian named Sima Quan, he wrote about Wang Dai, or the Yellow Emperor, about 2500 to 2400 BC. And Sima Quan wrote that Wang Di built an altar in Taishang in Shangdou province to worship Shang Di. Sima Quan also recorded a comment from Hang Dynasty scholar. And here's what he said. Shang Di is another name for Tien. The spirits do not have two lords. In other words, they were talking about, now this is translated, of course, because he wrote it in Chinese, he didn't write it in English. These quotes are translated. But basically, what it says is that the ancient Chinese believed in one God. And we were discussing about this last week. The pastor and I were discussing, there are no idols. There were no idols. Maybe I'm just thinking, Israelites had a lot of idols, but the Chinese people, they believed in Shang Di, no idols. That's very powerful. If the ancient Chinese king worship, the king is called Wang Dai. If the emperor, Yellow Emperor, worships Shang Di, the people also worshiped him too. So who was Shang Di? Does the Bible have anything to say about the Chinese? And who did the ancient Chinese worship? Shang Dai. Can you say that? Who did the ancient Chinese worship? This is what we have to understand. Now, is China in the Bible? When I ask you, is China ever in the Bible? Yes. Where do you find it?
The East, the prince of East, something.
Okay. Well, in 1947, some 78 years ago, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, and in a book, in the Dead Sea Scrolls were the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 49, verse 12, it reads this: "Surely these will come from afar. Look, those from the north, from the west, and from the land of Sinim." Now, what is the land of Sinim? Some translations in the NIV translate this Aswan, which is in the upper Egypt. This interpretation is not consistent with what Isaiah says in verse 6, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Wasn't really the ends of the earth. Another possibility is Sinim is a variant name for the not-so-distant Phoenicia. Still others claim Sinim is a reference to Cyrene, to the desert of Sinai. However, there's a belief that Sinem is China. There's a growing number of believers. Now, it's interesting that before 1900s, all the scholars would say Sinem is China. But only in the last 100 years, 120 years, 25 years or so, that scholars would say it's not China. But scholars have been wrong all the time. So, how can we say that Sinem is China? Well, Sinem, we know it's far away. Back in earlier in the chapter, it says, God addresses to Isaiah, surely these will come from afar. The chapter is addressing people from distant lands. In verse 1, listen, O cross lands, to me, and take heed, you people from afar. Sinem is either from the south or the east, because Isaiah already mentioned, or the Lord's already mentioned, the north and the west. Now, here's what's interesting. Isaiah is a book of prophecy, and so many times he writes about the future. He wrote about a virgin that gives birth to a child, which happened 700 years later. He wrote about Sinem. The Hebrew does not have the CH sound in its alphabet. Did you know that? In fact, it translates the CH to Q, you know, Sinem. The Chinese to Sinem. Could the Lord be telling Isaiah about the Qin dynasty some 500 years later, where we get China? Now, the Strong's Concordance say Sinem is a distant oriental region. You'd be interested to know that Young's Concordance, Sinem is a people from far east, the Chinese. Now, if you're not convinced, look up the development of words in other languages. In English, do you know what sinology is? Ology is the study of. But what is sinology? Is it the study of sin? It's the study of the Chinese. Sinology is the study of the Chinese. In Latin, sine, spelt that way, means the Chinese. In Arabic, sina'a is Chinese. So if Sinem is China, what is God saying to Isaiah about the Chinese people? They shall feed along the roads. Their pasture shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them, even though the springs of water, he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road. My highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, from the north and the west and from the land of Sinem. What God was saying is that the Chinese people experienced the salvation of the Lord, the salvation of God. And many Bible scholars have, you know, a difficult time understanding the last phrase of verse 16 in this passage. And I wonder if the Lord had China in mind when he said, you know, it was a double meaning, when he says, your walls are continually before me. Your walls. Jesus said this, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Who did the Chinese, ancient Chinese worship? Who did the ancient Chinese worship?
Song Dai.
Song Dai. Now, the Chinese in the Bible, I want to relate the Chinese in the Bible here. There's a classic Chinese song in the Ming Dynasty. Again, this is translated into English, so bear with me. Here in part what it says, of old in the beginning, there was great chaos, without form and dark. The five planets had not begun to revolve, nor the two lights to shine. In the midst of it, there existed neither form or sound. You, O spirits, spiritual sovereign, come forth in your sovereignty, and first did separate impure from the pure. You made heaven, you made earth, you made man. All things become alive with reproducing power. Does that sound anything similar? I mean, that is crazy. You'll find in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was of the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Chinese and the Israelites were two of the few cultures that recorded their history. And we get some insights of our history by what was recorded long ago. Unfortunately, the emperor, Qin Shi, had many of Chinese histories destroyed, and some did remain. But we get the understanding what ancient Chinese believed in actually through Chinese words. And this is what I find very interesting. Now, this may not be true, it may be true, but for example, the word fo. Okay. Fo means blessing, right? But the Chinese word is, it's like a picture. But it also tells a story. The picture tells the story where there is one, God, there's God in there, there's a mouth, there's a garden. And basically, the Chinese understand that blessing has to come from God in a garden. Now, where do we find that? You know, where we get God in the garden. This is kind of like Adam and Eve with God in the garden in paradise. This is a blessing. There are many other Chinese words that tell a story. I find this one interesting. Gum, forbid, the word for forbid. Gum, it's in two trees, which is like a forest, right? And the command, and God commanded what, Adam and Eve, not, you know, of every tree of the garden you may eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Gum. But that tells a story. And it's interesting. I don't know if it came from there, but, you know, I find that very interesting. Another word, Chinese words, guai, devil. The devil, there's a secret life, man in the garden. This is the devil. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. And then when you have the next word, tempter, means tempter. You see the devil in there among the trees, and it's under a cover. I find this very interesting. That Chinese, ancient Chinese words tell a story. Now, this one I find very interesting is Der, is that how you pronounce it? Der? Hide. It means hide. You got a body, you got several trees. They're hiding among the trees. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden. Now I find this next word interesting. Is it soon? Right? Yeah. Now what is this word? Chao. Chao. It means little ship. It's a little ship, you got 8 miles and you have a big vessel. Now, why is it number 8? There was 8 people on the ark. I find that interesting. I find that, I'm not saying this is what it is, but I think it paints a picture. And the Chinese had some understanding. The word for unite is hap, right? You got man, one, mouth. They're all saying the same thing together. And this means unite. This word really means unite. Now the word for tower, tap. Word for tower. It's interesting that you got dust, you got grass, you got people, you got one mouth. You got the hop. People tap. Saying the same thing. You know what the Bible says? They had brick for stone. They had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make let we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. They understood the bricks, the dust and the grass were bricks. This is a picture. This is a story that could be told from one Chinese word. Now, who did the ancient Chinese worship? It's highly that the God of the Bible, Shang Di, Song Dai, and the ancient Chinese have worshipped him all along. The ancient Chinese, through the writings, seem to have known this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've been told, this is like 20 years ago, that there were 100 million Chinese Christians. Is that right? In China? And the Chinese have been worshipping him all along. That was about 20 years ago. I'm sure the Holy Spirit's been working ever since. It wouldn't be surprising to me that there are more Christians in China today than there are in the United States. It wouldn't surprise me. Next time the Chinese tell you that being a Christian is following a foreign god, tell them that you're following the same god the ancient Chinese have followed before Taoism, Confucius, and Buddha. Who did the ancient Chinese worship? Yeah. Thank you. In Genesis 17, God spoke to Abraham. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and says, I am God Almighty. Walk before me. Be blameless. God Almighty. In Genesis, in Exodus chapter 6, God tells Moses his name. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty. Job 5:17 reads, blessed is a man who God corrects and does not despise the discipline of the Almighty. The word translated into Almighty is found 31 times in the book of Job. It's interesting that in the Septuagint, the old translation of the Old Testament into Greek translates the word into Almighty. However, the translation did name of God in Psalm 91 verse 1 is God of heaven instead of God Almighty. This is the same understanding that the Chinese have of Shangdai, Shangdi, that the Chinese have God of heavens, the Most High, God Almighty. The name, the Hebrew, have been translated Almighty, the God of heavens, is El Shaddai. El Shaddai, Shangdai, Shangdi, Shaddai. God has always been the God of the Chinese. And it's amazing that we worship a God. Is he your Lord? I find that's very powerful in sharing with the Chinese. I hope you do too. Let's close and let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your work among us and the way that you have drawn each one of us to yourself. Help us to follow you in all things. We thank you for your sovereign will. You are our El Shaddai. You are our Almighty. We trust in you. We follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.